Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe, and I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, a huge qualified sports are back. Celebrities are out there playing golf this weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend, a holiday weekend in the United States. We got celebrities playing golf. You go over to Europe, and yes, today's theme is catching up across Europe. We've got Germans, the German League, at least, playing football, and something is bubbling here, Josh, with the Premier League. So yeah. I think it's time we talk about what's bubbling up. Are we going to get our precious Premier League back?
Some Premier League talk. La Liga, I think they've announced a date that they're coming back now. I think that's it's June 12th or something like that. So it feels like Actually, in some ways, it feels like we are kind of pretending that things are better, but certainly it's in some places they are, in some places they are. I mean, compared to New York today, and you know, I went for a bike ride with my daughter this morning, and it feels, you know, completely the whole atmosphere is so different than it was 2 months ago. You know, there's a farmer's market, there are a lot of people there. People are pretty good about observing the rules here in New York. I know that some parts of the country less so, although some parts of the country weren't hit as hard, so that does kind of make sense. But yeah, it feels the atmosphere is different. It's, you know, I was thinking a second ago, it's so weird to be recording. We have never recorded this late into the spring. You know, we've never recorded. Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've ever, you know, 5 years of podcasting, this podcast, we've never recorded a Memorial weekend podcast before, in a season that ends 3 weeks before. And so, you know, it sort of feels like Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, Brandon. You know, they set out to explore the solar system, and now they're past Pluto, you know, and who knows what they're going to find out there. You know, they're getting close to the Oort cloud. And that's where we are, Brandon. We're approaching our own personal Oort cloud when it comes to sports across the world.
And our guest today will be Q from Star Trek The Next Generation. I really look forward to talking to Q about what he's doing with his Fantasy Bundesliga team. Yes, we're going to check in on the second weekend of Fantasy Bundesliga. We've got a bunch of questions from you, the listeners, about the Premier League possibly coming back and possible implications for FPL. But let's have a quick check-in here, Josh. The big announcement this week for Always Cheating, we have new merch on our online shop, alwayscheating.com/shop. Just go to alwayscheating.com. You'll find it. We've got new t-shirts, new mugs.
Yeah. And
I'll do you one better. We now have an Always Cheating hoodie for those just in time for summer. You can bundle up with a hoodie.
Yeah. The response has been really, really good too. I don't know if people didn't like the previous merch or what, but I cannot believe how much, like, in terms of actual, like, people buying stuff, it's a massive jump in sales over the last couple of days. It's been very cool to see it come through, and all of it. You see, we got an order from Malta, Brandon. That was very cool. So, So all over the country, lots of people have ordered the new merch. I think it looks great. My wife actually was kind of needling me that I need to get a bus team t-shirt for her. She really likes that t-shirt. So, I think you did a really great job. So alwayscheating.com is where you can find the Always Cheating shop and place an order.
I think my favorite tweet related to the new merch came from our friend and everyone's friend, Eric Freeman, who said, looking at our bus team t-shirts, imagine wearing a bus team t-shirt, being hit by a bus an hour before the game week deadline. And what a legend you would be.
Circle of life right there. It'd be beautiful. So that's new merch. And then, I just want to check in a little bit about the Bundesliga. We're going to talk pretty Premier League focused, actually, on this week's podcast. But with the second week of the Bundesliga in the books. Now, last week you said that you were like, give me West Brom, Norwich, and like, you know, a supermarket parking lot. And I'll prefer that over, you know, a top of the table clash in the Bundesliga. Has the second week changed your perspective at all? Or are you still the Bundesliga's number one hater?
Well, it's not like I'm okay. So I've repositioned my argument here. Okay. It's not that I'm a Bundesliga hater. It's kind of like I'm at summer camp right now, and Bundesliga is, you know, that attractive girl in the girls' camp. And I'm viewing Bundesliga as that summer fling, and it's going to end at some point, and I'm not going to get too attached. And what that leads to is very little emotional investment on my part.
Okay.
So it's not your fault, Bundesliga. It's my fault. It's on me. You are basically a summer fling, and I'm not going to get too attached. Therefore, like, Bundesliga is going to get me by the campfire, and she's going to say, let's go over to the woods and make out a little bit. And then Bundesliga is going to tell me that she loves me, and uh-huh. I'm going to say, my boys are over here, and we're about to go kayaking, so I'll see you later.
All right, your boys are the Premier League in this metaphor, whatever.
Yeah, Raheem Sterling, yeah. And you know, Kevin De Bruyne are like, hey, Brandon, come on, kayaks, let's do this.
So were there no moments, standout players, nothing? You had your arms folded the whole weekend, shaking your head like Lee Trevino and Happy Gilmore, just like very, you know, not feeling it. I feel like I'm kneeling you a little bit. I mean, but, you know, I surely there were some things you enjoyed about the Premier League this weekend, the Bundesliga.
I can pull out some positives for the Bundesliga. So Hakimi for Borussia Dortmund. I put him in my fantasy team because somebody billed him as Dortmund's response to Trent Alexander-Arnold. And he plays on the right. He's got a lot of pace. His cross isn't exactly the same as Trent's. But he's very offensively involved. So watching Hakimi score and be heavily involved, I mean, he played a great game last weekend as well to open up this whole thing. But Hakimi was really fun to watch, and he's one of those players where you're thinking you're going to a different club. Not that Dortmund isn't like a phenomenal world-class club to be at, but would you see Hakimi in the Premier League? Would you see him at La Liga? Would you see him at Bayern Munich? So he was fun to watch. While it was disappointing to see Haaland, everyone's boy, not mm-hmm. do anything. And the yeah. other player that was a takeaway for me was Kai Havertz for Leverkusen. Mm-hmm. And now everyone is comparing him to Kevin De Bruyne, I think. And there is that whole De Bruyne going back through the Bundesliga at Wolfsburg sort of thing. But he scored a brace last weekend, and he followed that up this weekend with another brace. And watching him score that brace last weekend, I was like, who is this guy? And then seeing him do it again, he's on penalties. He's the team leader. He's another guy where you're like, wow, I need to pay attention to him. What's next
sickly,
for this guy?
Sickly thin. Havertz seems to be, right? It's
like Bruno Fernandes and Riyad Mahrez levels of thinness.
Yeah, he's like -2 body fat. It's like it's not even zero. It's like somehow less than that. I liked him too. I watched the I guess the fantasy thing helps because it does get you, as we all know, as all experienced fantasy managers know, it's a great way to learn a lot of, to just follow the game in a way you wouldn't follow it otherwise. You know, and to pay attention to more players. And, you know, watching Leipzig destroy Mainz, I think that's how you say that, Mainz today, Jurgen Klopp's old club. The club that he played for, that is. It was sort of, actually, I think he managed there as well. Just watching them destroy them.
Thanks,
was
Wikipedia.
I did that thing where I was like, I was imagining someone listening right now and then correcting everything I said as I said it. So I felt like I had mm-hmm. to keep like throwing out that I knew some things, but I can't even pronounce mine. So what do I actually know here? So anyway, but watching Leipzig just throttle them today, it was really impressive. And Timo Werner, I mean, he was, you know, real like pure striker, you know, or I mean, like, I mean, actually like not, I shouldn't say pure striker, but like a modern striker where I felt like he could take the ball down. He moved out to the left at times, scored a hat trick. Honestly, probably could have scored four or five in the match.
A number of shots off target. I think his finish eluded him in the second half a few times.
But ultimately it was kind of an Aguero level thing where he was getting that hat trick. Like that was going to happen. And
to the point where they were going to sub him off and they kept him on the pitch, probably because he was sending the hand signals of everyone was dunking on me last week when Lewandowski and Haaland were scoring and he couldn't. And is this guy overrated or what? So I think you're right that he was urgently trying to put his stamp on this return to the Bundesliga.
And his passing was really good, too. I mean, he set up, Nkunku and Poulsen, he set both of them up for really big chances in the match. And the Poulsen in the first half in particular was a real golden chance. But so that was kind of fun because I was just like, if you told me like Leipzig, like I'd be like, all I could have told you going into this was there's, Timo Werner is, I could have told you some of the political stuff because they're, but like, but the team itself, I would have been like, well, I know that Timo Werner is a player who has been rumored to go to Liverpool. And like, that's all I could have told you really. And so it's just kind of fun. I mean, if you like, soccer/football, then it's just fun to learn more things. It's fun to see more people play. It's fun to have a more comprehensive scope, and not just be Premier League focused. I mean, I don't like to, you don't want to be totally in that box, where like that's the only thing you know about. And so, so I think it's been kind of fun just watching these matches. And I think as far as the no fans in the stands aspect of it goes, I'd say by the second weekend, I was more or less used to it. I mean, it didn't really bother me. It didn't affect the viewing experience too greatly. What do you think about this idea that they might pipe sound in for some of these matches? Are you pro fake sound and cheering or not?
Well, they did actually during the Leipzig-Mainz match. I don't know if it was Fox piping it in over their broadcast or if it was actually in the arena where they were playing.
Interesting. Okay.
But I heard it. You could hear the crowds chanting, and it seemed like it would modulate based on the action. Like, I think that there was a foul called against Leipzig, and then the crowd sort of turned and started grumbling a little bit.
Okay.
It sounded very normal if you're kind of not paying attention. But when you start to pay attention and you're like, wait, this is completely fake, it becomes just uncomfortably Orwellian, and I don't like it. It is very reminiscent of when Fox Sports put the laser microchip inside the hockey puck for people who complained, I can't watch hockey because I can't see where the puck is. So they put this laser in it. So when you're watching it on TV, you see these like chemtrails or whatever you want to call them that followed the puck everywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, I saw some people comparing it to like, hey, it's like a laugh track on TV. And I'm like, well, who likes a laugh track? Like, when's the last time there was a laugh track in a TV show? Like 25 years ago? Like, nobody wants it. It's like, it's lame. It's like telling you when to laugh, And like, I don't need to be told when to cheer. I mean, it's like, we just accept that it's a different experience, just like, I don't know. I don't like, it's like the sort of, we have to pretend that this is like a normal match going experience. And I don't really see the value in that.
I could position it this way for you. It's less, and I realize I just called it deeply Orwellian and shocking, but you could position it, this fake crowd noise, as more like white noise. So when my wife goes to sleep, she wants to put the fan on and because she just wants to dampen the room tone, basically, and just go to sleep that way. And I think some people watching these games, it's less that they want to hear specific sounds. They just kind of want that room tone. They want that bass level so they can almost block out the fact that there are no fans. They don't want the replication of fans, but they want the blocking out of the fact that there are none. Does that, if that makes any sense?
That does make sense. I don't know. I mean, I guess I didn't actually notice the sound that was piped in today. And, I don't know. I just didn't have the volume up that loud, I guess. So maybe it's like not worth it actually getting upset about, because I probably wouldn't notice one way or the other. I think that we're going to talk a little bit about some lessons things that the Bundesliga has taught us, you know, that may inform what the Premier League is like, you know, if and when it comes back. So let's shelve the Bundesliga talk for just one moment. But Brandon, before we do, we have a Patreon exclusive Bundesliga league open only for our patrons, and it's still open. If you want to become a Patreon supporter, or if you're already playing Fantasy Bundesliga and you want to get into our league, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating to do so. Brennan, the top five members, or the top five, I should say, in our Patreon league. Number five is The Fantasy King. Number four is Poppy in Uganda. Number three is Hollandaise Sauce. SV Werder Bremen. That's Gavin Doyle, and he was very excited to be in second place. He knows his Bundesliga.
I will say for Gavin, it's Werder Bremen. I think Gavin was insistent that that was actually part of the joke, that it was not Werder, it was Werder.
And La Holland is in first place. So, thank you to the top, or congratulations to the top five. And I'm in ninth place, Brennan. I'm having a pretty good Fantasy Bundesliga experience. The big thing was, and this is like, you know, one of the biggest differences between the two, is that you can decide whether to keep your, basically what's your captain. You can decide whether to keep your captain or roll it, you know, to the next day. And I had a pretty good score from Lewandowski, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to roll it for Timo Werner. And that made a big difference. And so that is kind of a fun thing. I do like that the like level of engagement is super high. I think it'd be too high for certain casual players in FPL, but it's pretty fun, I think, if you take fantasy seriously.
Yeah, and if anyone had known that Mainz was going to show up with a bunch of people who had apparently never played football before, it would have been the easiest decision you ever had to make.
I gave you like 10 Mainz, mil.
They looked hilariously bad. The issue I'm having with my Bundesliga team right now is that nobody plays. Like, all my defenders, like, aside from Hakimi, they just don't play. So I need to figure that one out.
A lot of rotation, yeah. And this Tuesday should be really fun because it's Borussia Dortmund Bayern play. And I believe it's at, not that it really matters right now, but I believe Borussia Dortmund are the home team in that match. And they are separated by 4 points in the division right now. So and both teams have looked awesome. I think that, you know, one thing I think we've learned is that if you have talented players, like, it does seem like playing without any crowds is a pretty big leg up. I think that is definitely something that I think we'll see in the Premier League as well when that resumes. It feels like it might be a little top heavy in terms of the, you know, results that we see.
Before we move on from the Patreon section and take a break and get to some listener questions, a special shout out to our new producer. Klaxon, we have a new Always Cheating producer. His name is Brandon B. So huge thanks to Brandon B for stepping up, becoming a producer of the pod. And I see on Brandon's Twitter profile that he's also ex-US Army. So hat tip, thank you for your service, Brandon.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you very much, Brandon. Very much appreciated. If you would like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Then you can find out more about our private Slack channel. And, you know, as far as Patreon, you know, goes, I think, you know, we've suspended April and May. And unless news comes out in the next couple of days that the Premier League is back imminently, then we're going to go ahead and suspend June as well. So that's where we are right now with patrons. We don't we just don't think it's something. We don't want to be charging patrons when there's no Premier League taking place. And we also know that a lot of people are hurting right now too. So that's the situation with our Patreon. We'll keep everybody posted on what happens there.
Okay, Josh, let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back, talk more about the Premier League, and take a handful of listener questions.
Great. All right, Brandon, Premier League, possibly fantasy, maybe resuming shortly. We know that clubs are now training again. I saw photos of Sadio Mane with the back of his hair was looking like kind of like yours, actually, Brandon, where, you know, sort of it's you're like almost have enough to do a comb over now. It's like it's getting close. You know?
Yeah, Mane has got the most subtle receding hairline I've ever seen. I mean, he wears it well. He's a striking man, but it's an odd head.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Is it subtle? I feel like that's like when I think of him in my brain, I think of a man who lost 2/3 of his scalp. It feels very, hair that is.
Well, it's like I'm used to the whole like the widow's peak that is, you know, sort of disappearing. And he's just got like a very defined hairline that's just like it's back an inch every season.
Have you seen Aubameyang too? That was pretty hilarious. Aubameyang has got kind of the same thing where it's like it's just kind of going up, but he doesn't have a ton left, you know, and so it's just sort of growing. I don't know. I haven't seen Rooney yet. I feel like that'll complete the bald guy trifecta. We'll see how he's doing.
How much attention do you need to give to your hair plugs during quarantine? Like, has Rooney's plugs all just fallen out at this point?
I know. That's a good question. Yeah.
The spot in the crown of his head has just gone crazy.
Pretty intimate experience, right? Putting those plugs back in. So I think based on the successful rollout of the Bundesliga, I think that the odds have improved. I don't know how much the Bundesliga is really about whether or not, but I think it could – the fact that it's gone well, I think, is certainly going to motivate people to try to get the Premier League up and running again. Did you see this thing about the test where I think they tested like 980 people or whatever and two came back positive for coronavirus?
Yep, I saw that. One was from Bournemouth. I don't recall where the other one was from.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see where they were from. But, you know, to me, that's actually pretty encouraging. I think a week before they tested 700 plus people and six came back. And so, I mean, to test 1,000 people and only have two be positive, I think, is a really good sign, you know. And you almost want a couple positives because it forces people – or not forces them, but it kind of well, it'll be a reminder to the players and coaches that they have to take this seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I could talk about the human rights element of this, you know, whether it's like, you know, like appropriate for them and everyone in their family to have to kind of not leave the home, you know, so that, you know, the Premier League can rake in as much cash as possible, you know, during the current season. But
yeah, really interesting comments from Danny Rose and Troy Deeney this past week or so, and also N'Golo Kanté excusing himself from small team training at Chelsea. He's got a, you know, long family history of illness. He wants to protect his family as best that he can. So totally hear that and respect that point of view.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, I think that as a from my perspective, I mean, I of course I hope it comes back. I mean, I'm at home all day, you know, working, and I have a 3.5-year-old daughter. So I'm like, I have like half a day where I'm just not working whilst home, you know, like put some matches on, you know, that sounds great. Yeah. You know, and so, yeah, I think, I would love it if it came back. And, I obviously don't want anyone to get hurt or sick, obviously, but, you know, I think that, if they can pull it off, then, you know, and they have a plan for what, you know, because the Bundesliga has said, you know, we expect people to come back positive. This is something that we will strongly think will happen. And we have a quarantine plan in place and that will not halt the season. And so I assume the Premier League would do the same kind of thing. There actually is some breaking news. Just as we started podcasting, the UK government late Sunday has given the Premier League green light to resume contact training. So that is a pretty massive next step. Wow. Yeah. So I think this is actually going to happen. Like, I think the question I have is whether fantasy will happen. And what do you think? I mean, let's say the Premier League, they it seems very likely. There's a lot of reasons for them to want to do it. Most of them involving cash. That's maybe the only reason. But that's a very powerful one. So if the Premier League comes back, what are the odds that fantasy comes back too? What do you think?
Well, I think they're pretty good. If you go to the Fantasy Premier League website, you're greeted with this status report message, and I can actually read it in whole. It's three sentences.
Okay.
So it says, as we look to complete the 2019-20 Premier League season, further updates on FPL will be provided when appropriate. Goes on to say, we want to reassure FPL managers that we will provide further updates on the game when appropriate, and we thank you for your continued patience. We can confirm, this is the confirmation you're looking for, Josh.
Okay.
We can confirm that any chips you retain at present, e.g. triple captain, bench boost, free hit, and or wild card, would remain available for you in accordance with the game rules. That's so official. I'm sure a wow. lawyer vetted this. These are exceptional circumstances, and we appreciate the understanding of FPL managers while the situation continues to evolve. So if the Premier League is going so far as to write and legally vet this language and put it on the status page of the FPL game, yeah. I have to believe they have every intention. I mean, they even say you're going to get your chips back. So they're planning for it. It's happening.
Yeah, that's actually really encouraging. And it's funny when you said it was 3 cents. I was hoping it would be like really poetic. Like, this is just to say I've eaten the plums that were in the icebox, you know, like real like go like, you know, that William Carlos Williams poem.
Sounds wonderful. I will be looking
yeah,
that up
anyway,
shortly.
Yeah. like just really oblique. And you're like, I don't know. What does that mean? Yeah, I think that I really was worried about it being kind of screwy when they might have resumed in game week 35 or something or 37, mm-hmm. you know, and they would have had like a, you know, octuple game week, you know, or some nonsense. But if, you know, the fact that we've actually gone past the 38 week window means they basically have had 3 months to figure out how to, you know, halt the train, you know, and move it backwards and get it back on its tracks or whatever. I was really worried because when they first stopped the game, they were like, yeah, the next game week is a, everybody gets 0 points, you know, and if you took a hit, then you got -4. And when that happened, I was like, oh, so they don't know how to stop this thing. Like they don't know how to pause it. Cause why in the world would you ever give people -4, you know, for no reason. But maybe now they can kind of go back and they'll just restart it at game week. Was it 27? Is that what the, is that
29? I think it was.
Was it that late in the season?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Okay. So
we had 10 weeks left to go.
Maybe I'm thinking of the Bundesliga. Anyway. So the 10 game weeks to
go. Your precious Bundesliga. Bundesliga is the number one fan over here.
And I guess I'm still hoping, you know, for Liverpool alone, I guess I hope it comes back because, I don't know, but also like, who cares? I'm really of like two minds about this, I guess, you know, it feels weird to resume it after 3 months and I presumably they'll have 5 substitutions and, you know, but who cares about legitimacy? Like, you know, it's like, who cares? It's all, everything's so screwy. If you know, if the players want to get paid and they want to put matches on, I'm certainly going to be watching and I'm certainly going to be excited about it, you know, and it'll also give us something to talk about on the mm-hmm. podcast, which make me doubly excited. So, I mean, are you kind of on the same page?
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're right. The Bundesliga coming back like a major European league, showing that it is possible and that people will watch these broadcasts. Not only did it show other leagues around the world a path that they could travel, watching the broadcasts, it's very much like the let me take it back to my summer camp metaphor. So me making out with Bundesliga in the woods next to that campfire before I go kayaking, making out the Bundesliga just reminds me of my girl back home who I'm actually in love with and how I can't wait to get back home to them. So I am only more reminded of my love for the Premier League right now. And baby, I'm coming home.
You are just like romance starved right now, Brandon. It's slipping out of all your metaphors.
Yeah. Like anyone who's been cooped up with his wife for 3 months,
he's gonna do a date night. Just go on the porch and pour a cocktail or something. All right, we got a few questions here. Sumant Nakhtar says, how to strategize with the Premier League starting again? Because I feel like we have to start from square one regarding the data because we don't know in which form the players are in, which we have in our squad right now. So, yeah. And then just kind of in line with that, Dr. Amir Ragab, a doctor, Brandon, on our
wow.
Wow, what a the circus
the
we run in.
Official medical doctor of the always cheating.
he says, players to have and teams to avoid. So I feel like these are kind of aligned. So, yeah, I mean, I think both of us kind of take it as a given that if the game does come back, fingers crossed, that we would all get a wild card, right? You would have to get a wild card, mm-hmm. wouldn't you? I mean, 10 weeks away, 5 subs.
Yeah, and I mean, God forbid some of these players get quarantined because of exposure to COVID and stuff like that. You don't know who's going to be available and who won't be available, and who could not be available in a couple of weeks given the circumstances. And I think that's the sort of flexibility in order to FPL would, you know, this is me wanting some sort of emotionless giant behemoth corporation, expecting them to want me to feel good, but I think they would want us to feel good. And I think just giving everyone a wild card would just sort of placate everyone, avoid any sort of controversy.
Yeah. We're so like cynical. It's like, we just like went to like the Premier League headquarters and they were like all incredibly nice to us. And like, we have, like, we've benefited so much from this. And yet every week we're like, this cynical cash grab. Can you believe this?
Yeah. They're wearing their burglar masks and those, you know, big bags with a dollar sign written on the outside.
This thing we love so much that we podcast every week, even though there's no sports, you know, this like, I think if we were to, if it comes back, whether or not there are, there's a wild card or not, the first priority for me would be to acquire center backs. Center backs are less likely to rotate. Most teams don't have a ton of center backs. Even a really top tier squad, I mean, like as we saw with Man City this season, top tier squads typically only go three or four deep with center backs anyway. And so I would be really worried about rotation. And I think that having a bunch of center backs in your team would be a real smart strategy, because we're even seeing in the Bundesliga, like you said, like you just don't know which of your players are going to play, right? Like it's hard to plan for that kind of rotation. And I think if it comes back, it's not going to be over 10 weeks. It'll be, I assume it'd be, 10 matches in 6 weeks or 7 weeks. I think we'll have a lot of midweek matches as well.
Yeah, I think that's a smart piece of advice, focusing on those players who are rotation proof. And I think that also applies to talismanic players. You look at Lewandowski and Timo Werner and Haaland. These guys have played 90 minutes back to back and they're not going to get rotated. Those are players that have a lust for competition and for goal scoring. You don't have a like for like on the bench to swap in for them. And they're some of the fittest people on your team that don't need as much rest. Now they come and they're sprinting a lot more and all that sort of stuff. But I think that's a great way to look at it. And it's kind of the only way to look at it in these more abstract positional terms, because if you try to think, well, there have been 3 months off, therefore Harvey Barnes, who was in form prior to the break, might not be in form now, therefore I should switch him to Jack Grealish or Iosi Perez, you're just talking yourself into something there. And the fact that we may have to start from square one because we have no data means we have no data. So it's really going to be a roll of the dice when the game comes back in terms of who's hot and who's not.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Son is back in training now, right? I mean, he broke
his arm.
Harry
Kane probably too.
Harry Kane, but you mean Son? Harry Kane too. But Son is the craziest one because he not only broke his arm, but he actually went to military training as well. Apparently, he finished like top in his class, he went to like a boot camp in South Korea, and there were like 150 plus people there, and he was the highest rated in terms of maybe that makes sense considering he's a professional athlete, but it was still like
can you imagine getting in Heung-min Son's platoon and you're like, great, okay, this guy's like a world-class athlete.
True.
He's just dogging you. He's like carrying like five backpacks over his head while he's running.
That's true. It's not like they were actually shooting anybody, so it was really just like fitness metrics, but still
I don't know what's going on over
that's
there.
That's true. But it's how does he come back, right? He's broke his arms and then he went to military training and now he's back. You know, so it's like everything is all forms out the window. So Benny Blanco says, which teams will neutral grounds and empty stadiums affect the most? And I think this is important to this as well, because I think that having watched 2 weeks now at the Bundesliga, I think the empty stadium effect is really bad for bad teams, for bottom half of the table teams. There's no, you don't have any of that like Caro Road 20,000 people inspiring you to pull off an inexplicable win over Man City, right? It's like there's just no, it's like a training ground, it's like a preseason match or something where it's just like the talented team is probably gonna take it because they're just better, you know? And they probably also have like access to better personal equipment, right? And like, they probably have, like, they have more money. So they probably have better home gyms. They probably have stayed in better shape. You know, they've sort of, they have just advantages that come with being at the top of their profession that I suspect some of these smaller clubs don't have.
Yeah. Benny's question actually caused me to look up the home and away tables. So you can go to soccerstats.com and find these. It's a table of what would the Premier League look like if we just counted home stats versus away stats. So Southampton, notoriously absolutely garbage at home. They're 20th in the home table. So you would think if Southampton were playing at a neutral site, it's great for them because they do not like playing in front of their fans, apparently. They do not like playing at home. I was like, a club like Arsenal, they're 12th in the away table, but 6th at the home table. So okay, that might favor them to be not as good without their home fans. Leicester City, 2nd in the home table. So let's just like list the teams who are better at home than away based on this table. Leicester City in 2nd at the home table, but 4th in the away table. Manchester United, they're in 4th place in the home table, but they're in 9th in the away table. So you're just looking at those two teams where they have big FPL assets, Leicester and Manchester United. You would worry for them not having their home fans pushing them because they're not doing as well when they're away from home.
I think with Man City, I think the real big issue, and this is Pernil Sheth says, if we have a Man City double up first, will you invest in them? And Jeff Watchma says, if premier teams are allowed up to 5 substitutions, do we need to upgrade Pep's wheel of roulette to something bigger? Giant craps, perhaps. They would be scary for lots of reasons. I think that there's the data you decided, but also just like, that's a huge squad. And, I don't know. I mean, like every spot, there are like 2 good players basically, right? Outside of their center back position. So, that would be, I don't know. Like, I guess I don't really know where we are with injuries right now either. I mean, first of all, I guess, do you have any good thoughts on the Man City question?
Well, God, it's been so long since I pulled up a fixture ticker, but I think the big concern, so I played my wild card going into, I think it was game week 29, and I only had Kevin De Bruyne in my wild card. You think the wild card was a great opportunity to load up on a couple more Man City attacking assets, but you look at their matches after game week 29, Burnley, Chelsea, Liverpool. Chelsea and Liverpool back-to-back, like kind of a tricky double run of fixtures there. Southampton and Newcastle after that. But I'm just the rotation threat coupled with that Liverpool fixture in game week 32, I'm not that bothered by Manchester City. I think there's just plenty of other red meat on offer from other teams.
Yeah.
And I would probably just stay away when I'm considering that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think I would probably, just based on this, like what we've seen so far with these one-sided matches with these really talented teams, I think I would, even bear in mind what you said before, I think that I would probably have 2 or 3 Man City players, but I would also load up on my center backs before. But I think I would rename my team 5 massive center backs, Brandon. I want 5... I want 5 per murder sacker types, you know, just big, yeah, hulking 6'4" guys who don't run at all. And you can just play them, you know, 90 minutes the rest of the shortened season because they only run about 1 kilometer a match, you know. So
Chelsea was another interesting team that came up in this home table versus away table. They're 3rd place in the away table versus 8th at home. Now, you think Stamford Bridge would count for a bit more for a team like Chelsea. I don't know if this is just how the fixtures lined up and they have an easier run in and they look to rack up a few more home wins. But Chelsea coming back into this neutral site, no fan situation, given how they perform away from home, it's, you know, that's going to be another interesting matchup for Manchester City.
Such a small sample size too, right? We're talking about 14 matches, roughly, you know, for each team. So it's, because you'd actually would think that the Chelsea team being so young that they would be better at home than away. So I don't know. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, as we get closer to FPL coming back, I think that we will dig into this a little more. I feel silly for me to talk, like, to even think about what players I would bring in right now. You know, like, I mean, I can't even
listen. Begin the good to players, think about that, you know, the like good players will still be good.
Yep.
And, you know, the not great FPL assets will still be not great. It's not going to be a new dawn. It's going to be different, but it's still going to be the same players that you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, these are, you know, this is what they've been all doing for 20 to 30 years. They're more, you know, like this is, you know, yeah, 2 months away isn't going to radically change how they play or who the good teams are. I think we've already seen that in the Bundesliga too. So, all right. Final question is, Gavin Doyle says, should FPL bring in any of the innovations of fantasy Bundesliga? The German game seems to reward active managers a lot more, removing an element of chance and killing off any ghost ships. So we did talk about this a little bit last week, but, you know, now having spent 2 weeks with fantasy Bundesliga, are there things about it that you like, don't like? You know, what's your kind of take on what, you know, what could be brought to FPL?
Yeah, this is something that I mentioned last week. I think the rewarding players who don't have the sexy goals and assists, you know, players are getting not just BPS, they're getting true blue fantasy points for completing passes and second pass to a shot, second pass to a goal. Yeah. Things like this that would just bring more players into the FPL pool of candidates. So I really like that. I mean, the star player and moving that around, we've talked about how it's kind of a double-edged sword and that it makes the game more fun, but it also kind of, it could lead to alienating some managers that are less active. And, you know, people in big FPL circles will gripe about ghost teams and ghost teams either being worthless or sometimes spoiling your FPL cup run. But at the end of the day, we want more people participating. We want this game to grow and to be big and to be a phenomenon. Yeah. So
we personally do. I mean, if I were, you know, if I managed a mini league with 20 of my friends and I wasn't in the business of, you know, having a Patreon and a weekly podcast, I mean, I could see some of this stuff being pretty, pretty cool, you know, like having these like extra touches, you know, but there's certain things about that I don't like. I don't like that you can't check other people's teams. You know, the thing that I like, one of the things I like most about fantasy is tracking all of my mini league players, you know, like not just you, but just like, you know, if I'm in fourth place in a mini league and, you know, we're right around the stage of the season we're in right now, I want to see every transfer everybody's made. I want to see who their captain is. I want to see what their bench looks like. And it's part of the fun for me is, you know, who am I rooting against, you know, instead of just who I'm like rooting for. And so the fact that you kind of don't know that until the game week is over is takes some of the fun out of it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I find myself becoming like a grumpy old man thinking about this, where I'm like, FPL's fine as it is, don't change anything. And I never want to be that person who is resistant to change. We talked about this with the introduction of VAR, and you know, yeah, you want to accept change. Things do change whether you like it or not, and you know, you just have to figure out what you're going to do about it. But FPL is a pretty good game, and I think it stands up to Fantasy Bundesliga as it is.
Agreed, for sure. I like that. You know, they don't, like you said, I like all the little, you know, duels won. I also even shots. It feels like it's a little more positive. You know, there was a big chance that Nkunku missed in the first half of Leipzig's match, and if as a fantasy manager, you're like, ooh, that's going to hurt him. You know, like that's a big chance missed. Like no bonus points for this guy. And there's just no bonus points in this game. It was just a shot, and he actually got credit for being aggressive and shooting. I sort of like the scrapping the bonus points and just rewarding all of your contributions. I mean, you still lose points for a yellow card. You still lose points if your team concedes goals. But I like the idea that it's a little more positive. And so I think you see it in the scores too, right? I think I had 135 points this week. I think I had 125 last week. And so you're just accruing more points. And that to me is more fun. It's more fun, you know, just the more points you score. It's just, there's just more things to root for and more ways to feel like you're doing well.
You getting 135 points in Bundesliga is like a Big Mac costing $3 in America, but 10,000 yen in Japan. It's just a different currency.
Sure, sure.
I want to ask you what you think about the transfer system, because the generous thing about Fantasy Bundesliga is you get three free transfers every transfer window. However, the problem is you only get three transfers. So I was looking to make some moves and solve this problem that I have with my defense in my squad, but I couldn't get there with just three transfers. There is no option to burn points to take that advantage to get in more transfers. So it feels restrictive in that sense, while also being cool that you always get three free transfers. Have you run into that being an issue? Did you make all three transfers that you had at your disposal this weekend?
Yeah, I definitely made all three transfers. And I did think about that too, although I guess I don't mind that. I don't mind it just being three, you know, as a limit. I mean, you know, if you extrapolate that, I mean, you can basically make a full wild card, you know, in 4 or 5 weeks in terms of, you know, can completely redo your team. But I think... yeah, so I guess I didn't really mind that. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's so different. Are there even wild cards? Is that even an option? I don't know if that is even like a thing that you can do in this game.
You have to get it tailored for perfect fit.
Yeah, so we're still learning all the ins and the outs. I think I'm kind of with you on the star player thing. I don't personally, it's worked out well for me, but I think that I'm already like obsessed enough with fantasy. I don't want to be in the position where like it's a Saturday night and I'm out with my friends, and in the back of my head I'm already thinking, shoot, do I need to move my star player from X player to Y player? You know, it's like I almost like that you have to like relinquish control once the game week starts. Mm-hmm. And then you can just kind of enjoy the matches, or you know, try to.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
All right, I think that's a good stopping point in the Premier League discussion. We're gonna take a quick break, and we have a lightning round, Brett. I got lots of different. We have a grab bag of lightning round, quite a proper lightning round this time. So let's take a break and we'll get back to it.
All right, guys, there is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, Bet Online. Bundesliga is back, but also NASCAR is back, and Bet Online has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get in on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. Or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament you can enter for free. And live right now on BetOnline's YouTube channel, you'll find an exclusive interview with ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they're calling the final dance. Josh, I dipped in on this video and Horace Grant was talking about not letting Michael Jordan eat his lunch. It was heated, man. It was pretty interesting stuff. So visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
All right, Brian, we're back. Lightning round time. FPL Mikey says, how many fantasy games are too many? Currently playing three, helping to run one, potentially joining another. I thought about this because a lot of people were like, man, I'm really enjoying this fantasy Bundesliga. I think I'm going to do more of it next season. So how many fantasy games are too many for you, Brandon Kelly?
I have a few different answers to this question, and I will keep it brief because our brief is 60 seconds or less in the lightning round. But when the Premier League is going, I'm obviously playing FPL, and then I play a score prediction game, which I wouldn't qualify as fantasy, just a score prediction. And then I have room for one other fantasy-related thing, whether it's a daily fantasy thing, whether it's a rotisserie draft thing, but that's usually gonna take third precedence. Like all focus will go to FPL. If I'm honest, I probably only have room for one fantasy game, but if I had to, I probably have the bandwidth for two to three.
Yeah, for me it's been one. I've enjoyed having the Bundesliga thing. I don't know how much I'd be able to keep it up with two. I really do. I'm too obsessed though with one. I'm not a casual. I mean, of of course, we're not really have this podcast, but like, I'm not a, I mean, I watch like all the matches, you know, like, I mean, it's like 10 matches in a game week. And I'm like, I'm not missing much, you know, like maybe a little bit of a Saturday one that's happening, but you know, it's like a lot of content already. And so they would have to be at like different season, like different times of the year. Like I have, MLS is like a fantasy league that I have been really interested in the past. You actually did it 1 year, I think.
I did it for 1 week, yeah, and then I just completely forgot yeah. about it. So if the Premier League comes back in, say, 4 weeks' time, sooner, yeah. maybe a week later, what happens to your fantasy Bundesliga team? Do you just put it aside and say, that was a fun dalliance?
No. I would see it out for sure. But I don't know if I'd start a new, you know, a new league the next season, because I'm just not good at being casual about it. You know, like if I was going to do fantasy Bundesliga, I'd want to be completely all in on it, you know, as well. And, you know, I think that something like NFL fantasy is something that might make a little more sense, because it's a little easier in terms of like, there's a draft at the beginning of the season. And in theory, once the draft is over, you're kind of, you could be done, you know, like, I mean, obviously like it doesn't, you know, there's waiver wires and trades and things like mm-hmm. that, but it's, you know, like it's, you know, I mean, I guess it's true of FPL too. I mean, you could just be done, but you know, the season in the NFL is, you know, half the size, you know, and it basically runs from September through December. And so you could kind of make it work, you know, but MLS would be the one, I think. And it's just, I think the problem is just that it launches in, you know, March, which is kind of like the peak end of season for fantasy. You know, it's, I'm so all in at that point of most fantasy seasons that it's hard to just be like, all right, I'm going to table FPL right now, and I'm going to learn, you know, about 300 different mm-hmm. players in a completely different league at the same time. And I've never quite been able to figure out how to do that, you know, and actually,
I've got some advice for you, Josh. So when you first encounter Bundesliga in the woods, you say, you just have to be very clear up front. I'm not looking for anything serious here. I've got a girl back home. This is just like a camp fling, and that's it. Yeah. And so long as you set that tone right out from the start, mm-hmm. there won't be any issues. Wow, no issues at all. What you're doing is you're like, oh, Bundesliga, you're the one for me. you're the one for me, and you're going to be trying to juggle both of these relationships, and it's going to blow up in your face.
I hope Tipper Gore
pretty soon, before you know, you're just going to be playing fantasy MLS, because that's going to be all that's left for you.
We'll see. So yeah, I think 1 to 2, I think is the sane answer. FPL Mikey says, and this is a question for you, cause I'm not doing this. Says, do you have any idea how to play virtual FPL? Well, so how was your virtual FPL team doing?
Virtual FPL, which you can play at livefpl.net. And for those of you not in the know, the people at livefpl.net just set up a full Premier League season, 38 weeks, and they run just simulations on these games. You draft a squad just like you would in FPL. You have chips and captains and all that sort of thing, and then it's just all simulated from there. And I feel like I kind of nailed it from the first game week. Like me and actually Nick Wright, one of our producers, got out of the gates week one and was running. But now you look at the number of total transfers, which like I'm looking at the always cheating virtual fantasy league that Mikey actually set up. So Mikey is into this. You can see Nick Wright has made 28 total transfers and I've made 9, and I'm just 3 spots away from where Nick is. So the trick for me with virtual FPL is don't overthink it. Like the data is going to favor players who are consistent, and it's going to favor like talismanic players on teams where there is only really one person who does anything. Like Bruno Fernandes is going to get an assist every friggin' week on virtual FPL. If anybody on Crystal Palace is doing something, guess who it is?
Wilfred Zaha.
Yes, Wilfried Zaha. Aubameyang is the only one scoring goals for Arsenal. So it's pretty straightforward. Kevin De Bruyne is going to get one, probably two assists every week. He's
okay.
Rarely going to score goals, but one random week, he's going to get a hat trick. And that's okay. Kind of the infuriating thing about this simulation is it honestly doesn't make any sense, but it's still fun.
Okay. Well, good. Well, that's great. I don't even know what to say because that does not sound fun to me.
I think that was exactly the answer that Mikey was looking for. Very helpful, I'm sure.
AJ says, bringing us back to Fantasy Bundesliga, says, what sources do you guys recommend for easily digestible FBL information? Any thoughts? You should have asked me this question. Yeah.
So, okay, I'll give my very brief answer to AJ's question, and then I'll pitch it to you because you probably have more to say because, as you've noted, you're way into
flying.
Fantasy Bundesliga. You're high-flying.
That's right.
You're in a full relationship with FBL right now.
Uh-huh.
I haven't digested any information apart from the phenomenal Ronan Murphy, who was a guest on Always Cheating last week, mm-hmm. and he's at goal.com. So Ronan knows his stuff, so just check him out.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I've just been watching the games and trying to glean what I can from there. What about
you? Yeah. Well, our friend Eric Freeman, I think, has done a great job on Twitter of highlighting various teams and players. And so, you know, he's been useful. Just give me like a little bit of that kind of narrative, you know, like who's good? What's the story of this team? Like, should I have three players from this squad or not? But otherwise, I have been taking a full-on Delbert approach, which is that I just want to have a rooting interest in most of these matches. So when I've been making my transfers, I did this when I set up the team too. I was like, well, I want people who play on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So I just sort of had players from those three teams. And I did that blended with players I'd heard of before. So it's a real, like, you know, if, like, I don't even know. Like, if somebody liked the Premier League and just played fantasy for the first time, that's probably what they would do, you know, just like a mix. I mean, maybe not the like matches on different days thing, but just like, it's like a blend, you know, I don't know. It's like players I can afford and players I've heard of. That didn't really answer the question at all, did it? I don't know. Yeah. Twitter. I've been like using Twitter and seeing who people talk about and going from there.
Bundesliga, baby. I don't want to know how many siblings you have or about what your daddy does. This is just a summer fling. Let's not get into all that stuff. Let's not mess around with that stuff. Sounds Let's like keep
a,
it casual.
Sounds like a violent femme song. Red Dagger says the Lance Armstrong documentary on ESPN tonight will be way better than the Michael Jordan one. Discuss.
Well, okay. Is James joking here? I mean, Lance Armstrong is a, I mean, I understand that our podcast is called Always Cheating, but, you know, that's just a stadium chant. Lance Armstrong is a true blue cheater and, you know, kind of like the opposite of what you want an athlete to be. You know, that was what, so the big takeaway from The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, was he was a total asshole and he did whatever it took to win that was within the laws of the game, as far as I could tell. Lance Armstrong is just a dick.
It's basically a feel-good story about the consummate winner, you know? I mean, whether you like his personality or not. The Michael Jordan documentary was fun, you know? And it's like, we had a happy ending as far as the kind of narrative of the documentary was. I mean, you know, your own feelings about him aside, you know? And so I'm not really like... You watch bummer documentaries, which I like never do. Like I will never watch American Factory. I kind of grew up, you know, I'm from Michigan. And so I remember like watching Roger and Me when I was young. That's Michael Moore documentary and American Movie is another one. And like just like documentaries that expose how awful life is for most people in most parts of the world, certainly parts of the United States. They just like make me feel bad and don't give me a lot of perspective and or just personally, I don't know, but I also I grew up, you know, not like I saw a lot of that growing up, you know? And so I feel like I don't really need to like dig back into it too much, you know? So I don't know. You live in your ivory tower, Brandon. So. Yeah. I was going to say, like, I don't know what you, it's like pretty similar, backgrounds, but I, for some reason I'm like working class and you're a giant snob, I guess is where I was.
Yeah. Well, I do know for a purpose.
Yeah, I just sort of end up there.
I do know for a fact that James is way into cycling. And for those who are into cycling, Lance Armstrong, I could see how he is kind of like a Michael Jordan figure in that sport. Yeah. So good on you. But, you know, if wearing a rubber bracelet makes you feel like a god, then, you know, go for it.
Yeah. Cycling is so – do you like cycling? I can't watch cycling. That's like NASCAR for me. Like I just – wheels in motion, that's just not my –
Well, at least like the Tour de France, you're getting to see great parts of the countryside. NASCAR, you know, you basically just see a bunch of people not trying to get hit by a screaming tire flying through the air.
Why don't you go open up Google Maps, take your little guy, drag him to a place, drop him in, just look at some pictures. That's, you know, same thing.
Or go to France.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, sorry about the documentary thing. I don't know what I was implying there, but just... I just don't like to watch things. I mean, like I'll watch a movie that makes me feel bad, but a documentary, if some of the documentaries, like they hit harder, you know, like you watch a really harrowing documentary. And I feel like that'll stay with you for weeks, years, you know, like it'll like really get at you, you know? So I don't know. Yeah.
Some people like that. It's kind of like a scary movie. Like I don't like scary movies because I don't like to get scared.
Right.
And I don't like that to stay with me. Like, is there a cloaked figure who is, you know, always 2 feet behind me when the lights go out? I don't like that. But to have these great human truths that I find in documentaries stick with me for years, that makes me a better person, Josh.
Yeah, it's smarter too. final question is from Jeff Holt. He says, "Can you give me the up-to-date stateside situation on the MLB in college sports?" I asked this question.
Is there an update?
Well, there's some news. Where we are right now with college sports is, I guess, beginning June 1st, and places that aren't, you know, shut down, that some of the college athletes can come back. So chance we'll have college football. I think we're still going to have a lot of canceled matches. I think we can end up just seeing conference matches instead of some of the kind of opening games, you know, that are played across divisions.
No Central Michigan versus Michigan State University.
Yeah, exactly. I think Michigan State was supposed to play like, I think it was like a, what's that college in Utah? Not Utah, but the Brigham Young.
Brigham
Young.
Supposed
to, like, play BYU or something. And it's kind of hard, to imagine like that match happening, you know, this fall. I just, you know, I can't really see. It just feels like there's such a massive, like, go across all the way across the country to play BYU. It just, you know, doesn't seem worthwhile. And so I don't know, but I think the latest news in baseball is pretty tricky too. They kind of outlined how they could reopen, and it's possible in July. But the problem is baseball needs a lot of training. You know, it's such a strain on your arm, especially for pitchers, that you can't just really pick it up after a couple of weeks of light training the way like you can in the NBA or the Premier League. It's like you need like a month really to get the arms back in shape. And so that one seems like they're looking at like maybe 81 game season. So we'll see. The NBA is now looking at playing at the Wide World of Sports complex, and they would all play like,
where is that?
I think it's in Florida, and Florida or Los Angeles, I think it's Florida. And they would, it would almost be like one of these like college basketball, like, you know, like Thanksgiving tournaments, you know, they play, or they get like eight teams and they go to like the Maui Invitation or whatever.
Sure. And so they play would on all, an like, aircraft carrier.
Yeah. And so they would all like play at this complex, I guess. I don't know. It feels like summer league. It feels hard. Like, how could you take that seriously? You know, like, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's like one thing, like, I mean, the empty stadiums are one thing, but even being in the stadium does give it a kind of gloss of being real, you know, like, yeah, there's nobody in the stadium, but you're still playing in your proper home stadium. And I just don't know how, like, you know, the Pistons playing the Nets, you know, at the Disney Wild World of Sports complex, like, would it feel in any way in front of no fans, would feel in any way like a legitimate game, you know, and not just like a scrimmage. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's where they are.
Well, it's fascinating to me that, it is fascinating to me that you see all these soccer leagues, European football leagues, that are going to be light years ahead where these college sports are and other American professional sports. It's interesting.
Yeah, it does make you wonder if certain people had taken things more seriously, you know, where we'd be. But that's for our politics podcast,
for another
Brandon.
Podcast.
Yeah, it's our vertical that we'll be launching soon. So there we go. If you'd like to support the podcast, thank you for listening, everybody. Hopefully we'll have some Premier League news next week. And if you'd like to support the podcast until then and join our Fantasy Bundesliga League and join our Slack chat, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. As a reminder, the winner of that league gets their pick of any item from the Always Cheating shop, including all the new merch that Brandon just added. Become a supporter, say thanks for what we do, get access to all the stuff I just mentioned. Brandon, do you want to thank our producer patrons, including our newest?
Oh, I'd love to. Big thanks. Yeah, big thanks to our producers, Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bob Iscoon, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kian-Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy. I'm going to take all these breaths out of the final pod, Josh. Don't worry about it. Victor Forberg-Skoging, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lelang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodektel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Andy Martin, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, James Conroy, and our newest producer, Brandon B. Big thanks to all of you. Rate, review, and subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast wherever fine podcasts are found. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, and your favorite podcast provider. Follow us on social media. The handles are as follows. Twitter, @HailCheaters. Instagram, @HailCheaters. Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. Send us an email with your lengthy missives, HailCheaters@gmail.com. And for that online shop and all this information and more, visit our website, AlwaysCheating.com.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.